Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Ryan Dunn.
And I'm Steve Marks.
We have a great show this week. We're going to be covering the new Microsoft codename Dallas. We'll have some news as always. And we'll finish up with a tip of the week on how to deploy your applications automatically to Windows Azure using the API.
Yep, let's take a look at the news first.
Well, this actually comes out from the Windows Azure team blog. What we have here is a reminder for everyone who might be interested in both physically attending the Windows Azure Firestarter event as well as watching it online to check out next week the Azure Firestarter happening here in Redmond and featuring Steve Marks.
That's right. And it's April 6th. And even if you're just going to watch it online, you do have to register before you do that.
Yep.
So don't show up right at the beginning
and
expect to watch it. Make sure you register first. And don't show up in person without registering.
Things get ugly. We have bouncers, folks.
We do have bouncers.
The next piece of news actually is more of a FYI. We have the Windows Azure Storage team, in particular, Brad Calder and the rest of his team.
His band of merry men. That's what we call them.
Or storage bandits.
Storage bandits.
Something like that. They are actually on the blogs. Blogosphere now? Is that still a cool
word? They're on the blogs. Yes, Ryan.
They're on the tubes of the blogs.
Soon they'll be on the Twitter and the Facebook. They're on blogs.msdn.com/Windows Azure Storage.
That's a hard one to remember.
It is a little bit hard to remember.
Windows Azure Storage.
You know, it's very complicated. It doesn't describe at all what it's about.
Nope.
So it's a little esoteric.
We should get a bit.ly tag for that.
Just to make it a little bit easier. Yeah. Like bit.ly/Windows Azure Storage blog?
No. bit.ly Windows Azure Storage team blog, because that's much more.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
And there is one post up there, as you can see, that's Brad's demo from Mix. Basically started taking apart screenshots, I think even some sample code somewhere down here.
And just for anyone who didn't see the Mix talk, Brad actually demoed for the very first time Windows Azure Drives.
Yeah.
So how to mount and unmount drives.
And it's a good sort of first post, I think. Got some good stuff in it. So everyone should subscribe right now. All right, let's talk about this next thing. You guys may know David Aiken. He was on the show, our second episode?
Second week when you were in Japan training.
I was off in Japan.
For what?
For the Olympics.
Yeah, I believe that was.
That's not at all what I was doing. But anyway, David was here. David is in DPE, and he works as, you know, doing technical evangelism for Windows Azure and the Windows Azure platform. Good guy, but a little bit late on this one. He's blogged here. This actually kind of cool thing. Let me scroll down here and show it. It draws a straight line across the screen, which is really cool. No, what this does is it uses the PowerShell commandlets that we've talked about before on the show. There's a little one-liner in here that basically takes a service that's up running in Windows Azure, gets all the role instances and sees if they're ready or if they're, you know, busy or whatever. Right. Basically takes that state and then using this cool Power Gadget stuff, draws a cool little window that automatically refreshes every minute and shows you the status. So it's pretty cool. This is what David promised us for the first episode of this show. He said, give me about 30 minutes. It'll take me about 30 minutes to get this going. And so about 2 months later, he's finally got it working, and it's up on his blog. But it is kind of cool.
He worked on it in 30-second increments, so it makes perfect
sense. So he chunked up the work, broke it into smaller work items. It was very agile of him. Moving right along, we've got OData stuff to talk about. This is actually just this came out from Mix. If you go watch the I think it was the day two keynote of Mix, but I can't be sure of that. There was some cool stuff there, and a lot of stuff about OData, which is if you don't know, basically a way of exposing data over the web in sort of a REST-friendly kind of Atom Pub thing. So you may have heard of technologies Astoria, that was a code name, ADO.NET Data Services, that was a real name. Now WCF Data Services.
WCF Data Services.
And
Publishing Protocol.
Atom Pub is sort of, and the protocol, the sort of open data protocol, that's the O in the OData, that's called OData, and it supports XML, some JSON formats, and other things. It's a way to expose things to the web, and Netflix has done it. Netflix took OData and basically exposed some of the information in their catalog over OData. So there's this endpoint.
Well, it's not some of it. It's actually their entire...
It's the whole
It's an entire
thing.
Library of DVDs.
Including all the users and their home addresses.
not quite. However...
but all the movie stuff is in there. So this is actually fantastic. I mean, you can imagine you could build some very cool things on top of this. And we'll have this link here. The actual service is just odata.netflix.com, but there's a post or there's a page up on their site that describes what you can do with it.
Yeah, what's interesting really about OData is not as much the format, in my opinion. It's the idea that you're building out services, or the services is the API. You have a website that's just one way to get to the data. OData and the framework and tools that we've built on top of it is really a way to expose that to a much larger audience. So you can think of, you know, in the case of Netflix, obviously they have a website where you can look up the movies. You don't have to have an OData feed. However, we have lots and lots of developers that can make interesting things happen if they had that data. And Netflix has given us a way to do that. So now we can create mashups. You can say, hey, you know, the top movies rented in this zip code, or maybe it's a location-based service that's mashed up with Bing Maps. All these different opportunities really come to the forefront when you have a standard way to present the user with some data. And that's really what the OData is about.
Actually, you said a key thing. There was a standard way to do it. Because if Netflix went and just provided an API for all these things, well, great. If you really want the Netflix data, you'll go build some code that understands that API and uses it.
Yeah.
But if it's OData, then I can use anything that supports OData, including there's a PHP SDK. You know, there are SDKs for a bunch of languages already. Excel with Power Pivot knows how to import this, so you could just open this up in Excel if you wanted to. So having a standard way to do it is really a great thing. So very cool that Netflix did this. I do want to point out they're calling this a preview API. So so take a look and make sure
you understand. If you had to guess where this was running, Steve, where would you guess?
I don't know. Maybe something cloudy. Maybe is it Windows Azure?
Bing. There you go. SQL Azure Database is hosting the data, and Windows Azure is serving it out.
Very cool. Okay, so speaking of OData and of data and exposing that on the web.
Exposing your data, folks. Data.
Exposing, yes, not anything else. Don't expose things on the web except data. Let's talk about Codename Dallas.
Yeah, I heard you have a spectacular demo here to show us.
We'll see, because as you're about to see, I've got to write some code for it. So we'll find out. But let's go over to services.com. Spelling is a big part of the web, turns out. And this is the site for Microsoft Codename Dallas. It's basically got a bunch of data. So if you don't know what Dallas is, the words we've been using are information marketplace. That's kind of the best way to describe it. And it's both for producers of data and consumers of data. So, for example, we're going to use Associated Press, which is the first one here. Associated Press has said, okay, we're going to put our top stories online, and then we're going to let people build cool applications that consume that data. So as a provider of the data, Associated Press has a way to expose that to users, and in fact, a way to put a business model on top of that. This is actually a free trial offer from AP. Right. But if they want to, they can actually charge people money for this. And so they have a way to monetize that data. And if you have data, you will be able to also monetize that using Codename Dallas.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a huge organization as well. I think one of the real value props here for Codename Dallas is the fact that you can be anybody. There was a guy actually featured at Mix who was serving barcode data. This is the stuff you scan. And he had to slice and dice that data, you know, lots of different ways for his customers. He didn't have the infrastructure to host this himself, and he found that Microsoft Codename Dallas was a great way to put that up, and then also give him opportunity to monetize it as well.
Yep. So so great if you've got data and you want to expose it that way. Also great if you just want to consume data. So for our example here, let's imagine that I want to make a cool little website that shows the top technology stories from Associated Press. I go to the Microsoft Codename Dallas portal. I subscribe to the Associated Press trial offer. I carefully read the EULA. You actually should really read this. Every EULA on here is really different, and it comes from the organization exposing the data. And AP does actually have some rules about what kind of uses you can make of this stuff. So do read it if you're going to use this. Don't just skip past it.
I believe your next child has to be named AP now.
APE. That's true. But by clicking on that, I did a name, agree to name my firstborn Associated Press. Associated Press Marks. Okay, so let's play with the data set a little bit, and then we'll go to some code and see how to use it. So now that I've signed up, I can do this. I can say explore the data set. I can press preview and see some data. And I can see that in a few different formats. I can see it in an Atom feed, or I can see it in just sort of some raw XML. And for our example, we're going to use, so this is actually a categories view. So I've said I want to look at the news categories. So let's get the technology headlines. Mm-hmm. So that's ID 31992.
I love how you have this little test harness here. You can kind of just play with the API without having to dig into code right away.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, from here, you can click a button and open up
it.
Excel. Oh. So you can really just sort of play around. And so I'm going to put this in. So now I'm saying I want news by category, and I'm putting in that category ID, and I'm going to say I want 10 items. And then, I didn't mean to do that. I meant to press preview. Invoke would, I think, just download the thing here, but I just want to see it in this page. I trust all this content, so I'll look at it. Okay, so there we go. And we've got full content of these things. We actually don't have the full content because I chose headlines only, but we have some sort of description and mm-hmm. byline. Really, all we're going to use for our sample is the title and the link. So I'm just going to make a simple web page that exposes those things. So how do I do that? Well, let's go to some code. So I've got a little cloud project here that I've created. I'm going to add, let's do it this way, I'm going to add a new web role to that project. And in there, we're going to build some little UI. So I'm going to call this, top tech web role, because I'm very creative. And I'm doing ASP.NET. This is a change for me. I always do MVC, because
yep.
I love MVC. But for this, I wanted to keep it really short and simple, so I'm doing a...
I wonder if our viewers know that you were in your previous incarnation at Microsoft, before you were the Windows Azure technical strategist, you were the Ajax evangelist.
I was. And you know what? There's going to be zero Ajax in this demo.
So
I'm sorry to disappoint you. I could see the hopeful look in your eyes there. So check this out. This is really cool. So I want to use this data, and of course it's an OData feed, so I can use some standard URLs and whatever right. to just sort of browse this. But if I want full .NET object models for all this, the Dallas team has generated those for me. So I can just download C# service classes for this.
Right.
And so let me just save that into that folder that has that web role that I've created, which is right here, actually.
How convenient.
It's good that I named it the same thing I named it last time. And now we'll just go include that in our project. And let's open it up for a second and see what it looks like. It looks like a bunch of things that aren't opened up, but here's one that I've opened up. News by category service. And this is the one that we're going to use. And you can see it's got a bunch of stuff. Here's a URL. And so you can see sort of the underlying OData happens here.
Right.
To initialize this, I'm going to need an account key and a unique user ID, which you may remember
this is one of the first things we got, yeah.
So I'm going to just try to copy-paste those over here. So noting the namespace, Microsoft.Dallas.Services, in my code here, I'm going to use Microsoft.Dallas.Services. Let's put these here. Let's turn that into C# code through a very complex transformation. Mm-hmm. And now I should be able to do something like, service equals new, let's do news by category service, and it takes an account key and a unique user ID, so we'll just do account key, and this actually has to be a GUID, so we'll just go ahead and parse that as a GUID.
That's awesome.
And that's it. So now we've got a service, and we can actually get data from it. So we can do service.invoke, and then we have to put in our parameters that we had. What was the category ID?
It was like 30 something.
Oh, you're so wrong. It's 31992. And then we need a content option. That was 0 or 2. That was this thing. So it's really handy to have this here to be able to explore the data, because you get to play with these different settings and see what they are. And then we want 10 items, let's say. Okay, so that's going to give us back some stuff. We'll call it stuff. Those are the stories. Right. What are we going to do with it? Here I'm going to use my fantastic skills as an ASP.NET web developer and fill in some UI here. So we're going to make a list view. We'll call it this. And inside we're going to put a... Oh, is it, what is it, ASP?
Item layout template.
Oh, no, it's just layout template, right? Well, you got to do a few things, right? And I'm just going to create an unordered list here. This is going to be some fantastic UI. And we're going to put a placeholder here called item placeholder. None of this, by the way, has anything to do with Dallas. Just me filling in some stuff. And so this is going to be the actual item template. And so here we're going to put a list item.
Right.
And then we're just going to put a hyperlink. And the text of that should come from, well, what are the fields? So the nice thing about having these C# classes is that once I've got this stuff, I can try it out. Let's say stuff 0. Can I do that? And then I can see what I've got. And I actually have a title, and that's what we're going to use. And then the link is the URL. So let's use those. So we're going to take a title here, and then the navigate URL is going to be that link. And there we go. That should be about it. So now we just have to data bind. So we're going to take our stories list view. We're going to set the data source to that stuff. And then we're going to make sure we data bind to the new stuff. And if I didn't mess anything up,
it would work.
It would work. I like how you say it would work. Not if I didn't mess it up, it will work. Just a, like, if I hadn't messed it up.
Well, you know what's amazing here is I think you typed about, I don't know, what, 50 lines of code in 2 minutes? Including all the markup?
That could be. The markup
was impressive.
Well, you know.
You know, you don't need
drag dropping controls from the little toolbar. I mean, that's really... That's Fisher-Price development is what that is. That's not...
And that whole IntelliSense thing? Get out of the way.
Did you notice? I've got it turned off. That's,
yeah, I did notice.
I'm too fast for it. So now I've pressed F5 here. Let's see if it actually builds and works. By the way, there's no reason this has to be a Windows Azure application. Like, true. I happen to do this as a cloud project because that's usually what I do. And when we get to the tip of the week, I'm going to reuse this. So I needed it to be a cloud project here. But this could have been anything. I could just have written a console app or whatever. Just want to make sure people get that to use Dallas, you don't have to be running in Windows Azure. You don't even have to be a Windows Azure project.
Console apps, admittedly, are not quite as sexy as a UI in the web.
Although the UI that I've created, I'm not sure it really beats the...
I could just see it. I'm going to have this console app running now, giving me the top 10 headlines.
Yeah.
And no way to...
With no URLs that you have to type into the browser.
Yeah, I'll cut and paste them from a console window. That's helpful.
hey, look at that. I didn't mess anything up. So... Now you get a little insight into what time of day and on what day we record the show. These were the top stories at the time of recording this show. So anyway, that's about it for Dallas. Now, you can do more stuff with Dallas. Sure. You don't have to use the C# classes. And there's actually, if you go on to Bing and search for like OData, PHP, and whatever, you'll see some other examples of doing this with other platforms or with other kinds of SDKs.
You can use any API that reads XML, really. So, I mean, you could use link to XML here as well. The XLink classes would work fantastic.
Yep.
But that's the fact that they generated those C# classes for you gives you...
It just makes it so much
easier. A huge head start.
Exactly. I mean, you're already done with any of the... You know, all the time that I spent on this was, you know, copy-pasting an account and a key... and then doing markup, right? Yeah. I mean, everything else was just done because I had the C# classes. And so that, in a nutshell, is Dallas.
That's awesome.
So you know what that means, Ryan?
No, what does it mean, Steve?
We're coming to the most nerve-wracking part of the show for us, which is the moments before the tip of the week.
Right. And I think this week, because I don't know if the viewers know, but I am actually on parental leave right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell
here.
You can tell that because of the bags under my eyes. that I have very little sleep right now. I'm caring for my newborn.
In fact, just through this wall,
she's on the other side of the wall.
She's under the excellent care of David Aiken, who we just made fun of on the show. So it's unlikely he will babysit for you again. But she is actually here. That is how much Ryan is on parental leave right now.
Yeah.
But he's here in the show.
And according to my wife, I do nothing but sleep in, sit on the couch and eat bonbons, watching daytime TV. So I would actually like to see a picture of myself or someone, you know, can proxy in for me, sitting on the couch eating bonbons or you know, taking their parental leave.
Just a slice of Ryan's
Just a slice leave. Of my life at home during parental leave. I mean, that would be a great way to introduce the tip of the week.
I think so.
So here you go. Here's your tip of the week. There it is.
Right. I'm, you know, we haven't gotten to see it yet. Everybody else just saw something. I don't know what they saw.
It's probably a huge mockery.
We have no idea. For us, it's still what we're imagining of, you know, of Ryan sitting on the couch or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk.
That's kind of a bad thing. Let's get that out of your mind.
Let's talk about the tip of the week. Okay, so this is it. So Scott Densmore does a lot of cool stuff, but recently he's been playing with Windows Azure, and he's been working on some of these things with Jim Zimmerman. He's been doing some stuff with him, and
he's actually working right now on the patterns and practices. So there's a guidance coming out from Eugenio Pacci's team on Windows Azure guidance for patterns and practices, and Scott is part of that team. So yep.
he's got a link even here in here to the Windows Azure guidance project. This is a picture of him over here.
It's very lifelike.
This one's just a mock-up that he did. He has this cool blog post about Azure deployment for your build server.
Yep.
And so basically this is, if I wanted to just automate from my build process, I want to just build everything, package it all up, ship it off to the web and deploy it.
Right.
How could I do that? And so he actually put together an MS build task for it. And let me open
Love
up
it.
A command prompt and take a look at it. So if you remember, I had this top tech thing, which we just did, and what I've already done is copied here a couple files that came from Scott's blog, and let's open up azuredeploy.msbuild. So when you get azuredeploy.msbuild from Scott's blog, there will be some blanks in here that you've got to fill in, and I've filled them in already. So I've already put in a storage account and an account key, and that's basically for as we deploy, we're going to deploy it through a storage account, and so you need a name and a key here. And yes, I'm going to delete it, so don't bother trying to take control of that account. There's some other stuff in here. He actually does some cool stuff with replacing in your configs, just putting in the production storage account at the time of deploy. I've skipped that, so I skipped a couple things in here because we're not using a storage account for this sample.
You're not going to actually run TopTech for the next few weeks?
No, I'm not. In fact, I'm going to deploy it now, and I'm never going to let it see the light of day, actually. So here I've just filled in some basic things, which, as you can see, are pretty simple. The project name, the solution file, where the package and the config file go. And that's pretty much all that I've done. Mm-hmm. And there's one other file that I've touched, which is this deploy.ps1. And Ryan, this is going to look familiar to you, because this is using the PowerShell commandlets for doing Windows Azure management.
Yep.
And I had to edit these top two lines. These top two lines were sort of, you know, put your certificate in here, put your subscription ID in here.
Right.
And I've got them in there. And that's about it. And so what the script does, what deploy.ps1 does, is the deployment step. Mm-hmm. What the MS build task does is the rest, is do, you know, make a dependency on doing the actual build of the solution project and then calling out to deploy.
Right.
So if I type msbuild, azuredeploy.msbuild/tdeploy. Let's see if I got that right. This should build this project, and when it's done building it, it should fire off to that deploy1.ps1, which will go ahead and copy that up to my storage account.
Right.
Once that's there, it'll get the service name that I've put in here. It'll take the staging that the script deploys to staging. So it'll take the staging deployment slot. it'll say deploy this, it'll wait till it's done, and then it'll actually go ahead and do run. So this does everything I would need to do to get it this running and staging.
But all automated.
All from the command line.
This is really good for folks who want to be doing the continuous build automation, want to do a check-in, automatically check to make sure not only does it compile, but let's make sure it runs. And you can imagine maybe there's some automated testing going on here.
Right. You can definitely imagine kicking off testing, you know, waiting until this is up and running and then kicking off testing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me log into the portal where I created this before, TopTech. And if we click on this, I think by now we should see something already happening. Depends how long that upload took. So here we see the TopTech web role. It's in the stopped state, which actually I think just means we haven't gotten to the, I think it just did this, so we should actually see this start to run even. It doesn't actually stop here. It does go ahead and do run. And then we're off and going. And so pretty cool. The fact that it's an MS build task means you can integrate it very easily with your build process. But even if you just use it as a command line tool, right, like I just did there, I found myself, once I got this, I was just doing other unrelated stuff, and I found myself using this all the time because it's much easier than going to the portal and doing
it. There it goes.
Hey, there we saw it actually start initializing. So there you go. So that's about it for this week
on
the Cloud Cover Show.
Yeah.
We should remind everyone that if you think of things that you would like to see featured on Cloud Cover Show or you've got some questions,
right,
do send us an at reply on Twitter to Cloud Cover Show. Mm-hmm. We both keep an eye on that and try to respond when people ask questions there or when people give us suggestions. We definitely look to do that on the show.
Right. So until next week, thanks.
Thank you.